rich words are within that reading that we have. Now, I had a little bit of a funny and different schedule over the last couple of weeks. So I have not preached the same message at both sites. I've swapped them over. So this week, the one that I preached last week at Ipsum, I'm preaching here. So some of you might know the answer to this question. Do you know what the word of the year was in the Oxford Dictionary? The word of the year. Wars? Awesome. No, wasn't that one. No, it wasn't Trump either. Although that's not a bad choice. It was post-truth. Post-truth. When I was on my study leave during the elections, I watched the political debates. I was sort of mesmerized in this strange sort of way to try and hear and see what Donald Trump was like, because the little snippets you saw of him on the news, oh, can't believe this guy. Is he really like this? And to watch him in the debates was so interesting. In the first debate, he seemed to make so many things up as he spoke that come the second debate, they had all these fact checkers ready to sort of pounce when he said something that was a wee bit out of order. And they were listening to every word that he was saying. Now, in post-truth politics, truth becomes irrelevant and, at best, becomes secondary in the matter. The aim of the politician, then, setting truth aside, is to aim to connect with the feelings and perhaps the desires or the prejudices of the people that he or she is talking to, in order to gain their support. And you wouldn't want to correct these people by actually telling them the truth. Just tell them something that they want to hear that's wide enough that they can read into it what they would like. And in this context, false rumors found fertile ground. One of the best known of these was the assertion that President Obama was not a natural-born citizen of the United States. And then when Donald Trump and others were repeating this, and I read somewhere recently that someone had said, if you repeat a lie five times, it becomes the truth. When they sort of repeat it and repeat it, then people's prejudices are confirmed. And people are thinking, there must be some truth in this. There's no smoke without fire. And long after this had been shown to be incorrect, still it was circulating with some credence of a sense of truth. And at the same time, we've seen the growth in fake news. Now, some fake news websites are spoofs, satire, and set up for a laugh and to entertain. But some fake news is more sinister and has an aim to undermine the truth or to raise doubts about some facts. One of the fake news stories was that Hillary Clinton used a body double during her campaign. And around the time when she was ill and fainted at the 9/11 commemorations, people were scrutinizing the photos of her. Is this the same person? The nose looks a little bit different. The clothes are hanging perhaps a little bit loosely. Is this really the same person, or is it a body double? And when it was measured, when it was measured, some of the fake news stories were actually reaching more people than the real news stories. And that becomes a little bit frightening. When I was a child, my mother taught me to tell the truth. Truth mattered, and truth was important. And during my teenage years, I remember watching documentaries that investigated to find the truth. One of them that some of you might remember was when President Nixon tried to cover up when his administration broke into the Democratic offices. And then the Washington Post reporters, Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, they probed the story to find the truth. And in the end, the Watergate scandal emerged and forced President Nixon out of office because the truth mattered. And the president had to be telling the truth. or else would be taken out of office. But then as I was growing older, I noticed this sort of gradual change in attitudes to the truth. Truth was no longer seeming to be something that's absolute. Rather, it started to become something that was a more of a personal thing. And so, with regard to truth, what's true for you may not be true for me. My personal truth and your personal truth could be quite different. It seemed as if the anchor of truth had been jettisoned. And truth was no longer so important or so real that it itself would inform and shape people. Rather, it seemed that people were shaping truth by their own perceptions. Truth became subservient and shaped by personal points of view. And truth was only true insofar as I believed it or you believed it to be true. You can have your truth, I can have my truth. They may be contradictory. Neither might actually be true. But all that mattered was that we accepted whatever our truth happened to be. And there was, and there continues to be, that sense, truth for me is this, truth for you is that. And we should be accepting and tolerant of each other, even if our truths differ. And this approach to truth seemed to fracture even more with the advent of spin doctors. These were political advisors who would play with the truth and put a spin on the circumstances and perceptions, perhaps distorting the truth, changing the way people saw things, perceived things. And they would promote an interpretation of events to change the story or narrative so as to change public opinion in favor of their point of view or their client's point of view. An earlier generation might have labeled this propaganda, saying things that weren't true to try and get people to think that they are true and follow them. And it's this sort of strategic use of words and concepts to market things, to brand policies that might catch the public imagination but really lack any substance. And so the job of a spin doctor was to use words and phrases almost like a magician, smoke and mirrors, to distract us and redirect us so that we only saw what they wanted us to see. And now it seems we're in the post-truth era, where truth is like a ship that many people have just abandoned. Everyone floating around on their own little leaky life rafts, drifting and bobbing, cocooned within their own bubble, their own echo chamber of what they claim to be true. So, Paul Ryan, who's the Speaker of the House of Representatives in America, said on TV that he has no problem with President-elect Donald Trump tweeting lies and conspiracy theories. And he said, the fact that the President-elect of the United States circulates false information on social media is not a concern to me. And he said, it doesn't matter to me. He won the election. And it's as if winning the election is more important than actually speaking truth. It doesn't matter to me, he said. He won the election. More worrying than this is that many American voters knew Donald Trump. Whoops, wipe that off the tape. That Donald Trump, they knew he wasn't telling the truth, but it didn't matter to them either. And so we're living in these sort of dangerous times where it doesn't matter, where truth doesn't matter to about 50% of Americans, one of the most powerful nations on earth. What happens to the world when people are in that sort of situation and place in their thinking? I suppose there's a regression of sorts here from absolute truth to what's true for you may not be true for me, to the spin doctors playing with the truth and trying to get public perception changed, to being a post-truth society where actually it doesn't matter anymore. And I can see two great dangers here, and you may be able to see others, but one is you simply can't trust a person who lies to you. If the truth doesn't matter to them, you can't trust them. You can't rely on them. You can't plan based on what they say. During the U.S. election, people around the world listened to a number of outrageous statements by Donald Trump, and they were puzzled by them. Did he really mean what he was saying? Would he actually go ahead and do what he was promising he was doing? And one of Trump's closest aides said the mistake of the media during the campaign, the mistake of the TV channels and the newspapers, was actually to believe what Donald Trump was saying, or to take it literally. And another Trump supporter said, facts are not really facts. There's no such thing anymore. And if there's no such thing as truth, and if facts aren't really facts, you can't expect consistency from people. Things they say will just change from time to time, from one day to the next. You can't trust what they would say. And worse than this, if you can't trust people, if they're going to just lie, then you can't have justice. Justice depends on truth and integrity. Justice needs to be able to look at facts, at truth, and try from that to come to a fair decision. And if evidence can't be taken literally, can you imagine someone in a court of law being asked about what they saw and what they heard and giving this version of events, and then before they left the witness stand, they said, but don't take anything I said literally. Yeah, you can't count on it. You just couldn't come to a place where you could find justice. Truth gives a secure foundation on which decisions can be based. Lies are like swampy, unstable ground, which just can't support justice. And I can't help but wonder if this is symptomatic of the fall of the American empire, where truth doesn't matter and trust and justice end up being lost. We're going to make this nation great again, someone said. But you can't have a great nation based on lies. A great nation has to be based on truth. Now, I think Pontius Pilate would sort of fit into the political scene quite well with his skeptical question to Jesus. What is truth? What is it? What is truth? And in John's Gospel we read, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Jesus, full of grace and truth. Now, John doesn't have a nativity scene in his writings. Rather, he works through things theologically. And so what he speaks about is God coming among us in the person of Jesus, full of grace and truth. And truth is to the forefront of the gospel message. Truth is highlighted and stressed time and time again. Jesus had a manner of speaking which was really quite different from the people of his day. He began his statements by saying, "Truly, truly I say to you." And those familiar with the King James Version will remember Jesus saying, "Verily, verily, I say to you." This is truly, truly. And I remember my Old Testament professor pointing out that the Hebrew that Jesus was saying there was, "Amen, amen, I'm saying to you." People don't speak like that now, and they didn't speak like that then. This was a particular way that Jesus spoke that was unique to him, and he was stressing the truth of what he was saying. Jesus, who came full of truth, spoke the truth and stressed the truth. And one of his great statements, some of these things I'm sure are coming to mind for you, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And Jesus' claim was not only to speak the truth or even to be a person to point to the truth, but actually to be the truth. And truth in Jesus' ministry was a point of contention with those who opposed him. Jesus' teaching about the truth revealed that he and his opponents were just poles apart. And Jesus took them to task in very strong, condemning language over this. And he said they couldn't hear his truth because they were children of the devil, and the devil has no truth in him. And Jesus said of Satan, "When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar." And I thought this was an interesting way of phrasing it. Lying is Satan's native language, his mother tongue, the thing that comes naturally to him. Truth isn't in him. Truth doesn't matter to him. He feels no obligation to hold to the truth or to speak the truth. Indeed, his very nature is to lie, and he is the father of lies. His native language, Satan's native language, is to lie. The native language of Jesus is truth. This is his heart language. Jesus' mother tongue is truth. For Jesus, truth is not simply a virtue. It's his nature. For Jesus, truth is not just in his words, but at the very core of his being. It mattered to him. He knew it was also essential to those who would follow him. And so he said to them, what the Father is seeking are those who will worship in spirit and truth. This is what God is looking for. Those who will worship in spirit and truth. God wants us to walk in truth, to have truth in our lives. And then, as I alluded to some moments ago, at his trial before Pontius Pilate, Pilate said to him, what is truth? And this is because Jesus was speaking to him about truth. And Jesus said to him, for this reason I was born. And for this, I came into the world to testify to the truth. And this is a really amazing, if you start to think about it, this is what Jesus came for. This is the reason Jesus was there. To testify to the truth. And everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Jesus' birth, his teaching, his desire for his disciples. His understanding that people who were to worship God. All of this linked to truth, bathed in truth, covered with truth. Truth at the very core of Jesus' being. Truth. Jesus wanted to be at the core of his family. So what difference does this make to us? Truth is a core value at the heart of the Christian faith. It's to be our heart language, our mother tongue. Truth is not something we should treat lightly or dismiss easily. This stands in sharp contrast to the way truth is treated today. Truth may not be convenient, but it is important. And the way truth is being treated today, being set aside for lies, that brings us into a terrible place in our world. Imagine people looking up to leaders who lie and who are known to lie. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work at all. Truth is foundational to good relationships. You can't build a relationship with a person if they constantly lie to you. In marriage, if your husband or wife is lying about what they're doing and where they're going and how they're spending the finances, now, I don't mean by that that they're going out to buy you a Christmas present and don't want you to know about it. I mean, that's a totally different thing altogether. But if they're constantly lying to you and misleading you, how can you have a good relationship? If that is happening, that relationship is on shaky ground. Or if your business partner is saying one thing to your face and something different behind your back, if they're lying to your customers or covering things up with the bank or investors, then the whole business is at risk. Or if you're looking for a property and the real estate agent is lying to you about it, about how sound it is or how good it is, then you run a real risk if you trust them by purchasing it. And investors, to their cost, and maybe some of you, have lost money when a finance company misrepresents their financial position. And then the next day you find out they have no money and your money is gone. Or if you're immigrating and the person who's giving you information gives you false information and false hope about getting a legitimate qualification or getting a visa or finding a way to be able to work here In those situations, students and their families are put in difficult situations. People who have spent a lot of money and invested time to come here, they're in difficult situations. You can't build relationships on lies. In Advent, we remember that Jesus came full of grace and truth. Full of truth. Truth was on his lips. Truth was in his heart. That warms my heart to know that. Truth is in his heart, the way he deals with us. And because Jesus is truth, because he speaks the truth, he can be trusted and he will bring justice. He doesn't offer one out of many versions of the truth. He is the truth. You can rely on what he has said. You can be confident that he is just and will bring justice. And because Jesus is truth, truth becomes important for us. And at a time when it's less important for others, we can't follow them in that. We can't say, well, that's the way the world's going, so we'll just do it too. We've got to be true. We've got to be true to God. True to what he has taught. True to what we say. Faithful to those we've made promises to. We've got to take care not to be taken in by false news or rumors, and careful not to spread those things. Instead, we should be people of the truth and ready to share the truth of Jesus with others. This is Advent and Christmas. And in this time, we can remember Jesus, full of grace and truth, and reflect it on our own lives. All this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.